Is it working?
Thumbs up in the back. Glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
I do pray to God it'll be a blessing to you.
Amen.
I didn't have time to find out what I'm supposed to preach on, so I got to get over here and see what Brother Layton wants me to preach on here tonight. What was the message? I didn't get that message, Brother. What was it? Take your pick. In that case, Genesis chapter 4. Glad you're here tonight. I understand there are some visitors. I will give a shout out. I want to thank the Lord that Josue, did I say it right? Glad you're here tonight. I have an ear infection, so I don't exactly hear, and I'm not sure I heard your name right. I understand David Martinez is here tonight. Glad you're here. And Yolanda, glad you're here. Hope you come back after hearing me preach. Sometimes people hear me, they don't come back. I do understand some people have been down in the house of mourning. Been down to that house a couple times. It's not exactly pleasant, but you do learn some things. So before I preach tonight, I'd like a couple of you brothers to pray for the Newman family. Pray that they find the peace of God and the comfort of God down in the valley, down in that house of mourning.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask Brother Robert and Brother Mike Pemberton to pray for the Newman family, if you would be so kind.
Oh God, we ask you truly, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts that you would bless the Newman family, Lord, and all those that are related to the marriages, Lord, brothers and sisters, Lord, we just ask that you would give them the comfort and peace that only you can truly give. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as creator of the human heart, you're the only one who knows how to provide comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, comfort is what is needed now. Thank you for the joy of knowing that Aunt Shirley was safe.
Amen.
That she'll be in heaven, that she went home to be with you. And Father, I pray, I know that it would be her desire that if there was anybody here tonight who didn't have that same confidence, that they would come to know you that very same way she did for all those years. Lord, I pray that you would move here. And Lord, I pray that there would be some saved. And I pray you'd comfort the family knowing that others have now joined her. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, if you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 and stand as we read the Scripture, we're going to read from verse 3. All the way down to verse 9. I'm going to let you read it.
In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel with his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper?
Amen. Thank you. And Brother Jim Campbell's with us here tonight. A good longtime friend. Good to see him. I'm going to ask him to pray for the message tonight.
Around your word with your people.
Amen.
Father, we pray you to anoint and may the word of God, as Brent preaches it, be a burning fire in our hearts.
Amen.
We claim the blood of Christ on that which is to follow. God, give liberty and power. Use your word as we ask in Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to repeat verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. Now I think in this verse we can find some instructions for our soul. Because this is God Almighty speaking to Abel. And as you read this portion of Scripture, you know that at this moment, Cain is just a very short time away from committing a sin that he's going to regret the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
And one thing I found out in my life as a Christian and as a believer, I found out that sin will come back to haunt you. The Bible says in the New Testament, whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap.
Amen.
There are some laws that God has instituted in the human race, in the world, that you cannot break without having some consequences.
Amen.
Now, you may disagree with the law. You might not believe in the law. That doesn't matter. It's not even relevant. Because if you violate those laws are going to have consequences. Somebody says, I don't believe in gravity. And you hold that steel ball up and say, I don't believe it, and you let go of that ball, your unbelief doesn't change the fact that that steel ball is going to put a big welt on your toe if it doesn't break it.
Yes, right.
You see, your belief or unbelief has no bearing on the laws that God has set in motion.
Amen.
And there's a spiritual law that is just as valid as the law of gravity. And that law I've already mentioned. Whatsoever man soweth, that he also shall reap. And he says here, the Lord says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Somebody says, now why? Somebody says, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in a God that would send somebody to hell. You know what? God doesn't care.
Right.
He's already established the law.
Right.
He's already written down. You know Jesus? The one, that prophet, they say, you know, he's the God of love?
Yeah.
He spoke more on the subject of hell than any other prophet in the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Now, why do you think that is? Because he didn't love us? No. The fact is, he knew what was coming. And because he loved us, he came and told us about it. And because he loved us, he went to the cross of Calvary, and he died on the cross of Calvary so we wouldn't have to go to hell. That's the love of God.
Amen.
There's the love of God demonstrated.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, why would God send his children to hell? I got newsflash for you. God doesn't send his children to hell.
Amen.
His children go to heaven.
Amen.
And thank God Aunt Shirley was his child.
That's right, amen.
She was a child of the King, and she's in his presence this night.
Amen.
Thank God for that. But if you're not a child of God, and you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you mark it down, there's an eternal destination waiting for you.
That's right.
Somebody says, yeah, but well, if I do good, will God send me to hell? If you do good from the day you're born to the day you die, God will not send you to hell. How are you doing on that, by the way?
Amen.
God doesn't send righteous people to hell.
Right.
And if you're absolutely righteous, if there's not somebody that can stand up and say, this man has sinned, or this man has done an unrighteous deed, and if God Almighty can say that, you mark it down, you get a free pass to heaven.
That's right.
Yeah, there's just one problem with that. I ain't never found none of them critters.
Right. That's right. Amen.
I don't think there's any such critter in here tonight. I think we're all sinners.
Amen.
I said the other night, I've read this Bible in three different languages. I read it from the beginning all the way to the end, at least three times in three different languages.
Amen.
I don't find my name in the Bible. Brent is not in the Bible. Riggs is not in the Bible. But I find my name in there. It's called sinner.
Amen.
I'm a sinner, are you?
Yeah.
Amen. Now what kind of sinner are you? I'm a saved sinner. Are you a saved sinner?
Amen.
Have you been delivered from the wrath to come?
Amen.
Have you been delivered from hell?
Amen.
Has God Almighty forgiven your sins?
Yes, amen.
Now that's the kind of sinner you need to be, a forgiven sinner.
Hey, that's right.
But friend, if you're still unforgiven, if you're still walking around in the wrath of God, if you're still under the condemnation of sin and the law, then friend, you ought to be afraid.
Amen.
And God Almighty said to Cain, He said, if thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted? Listen, God doesn't make mistakes. And if you do well, you'll get credit for it. But don't kid yourself. God is not your, they say in Polish, mommy cynic. You're not daddy's little boy. And God is not looking at you like your mother does through rose-colored glasses and can see no wrong. I've been there, done that. My mother said to my neighbors, said, this is just a good little boy. Oh, I'm so glad. And my neighbors were saying I was a good little boy. And I'm thinking in my heart, if they only knew what I did in their house last night, they wouldn't be saying that. I'm not going to tell them. And they probably went to their grave thinking I was a little good little boy. But you know what I knew? I knew something that God knew, that I wasn't good.
Amen.
And just as long as you're looking at me through rose-colored glasses, and you're looking at me without the eyes of justice,
yes,
then you might fool yourself and you might fool me a little bit, but we're not fooling God. God knows our hearts. And the biggest problem we got in our generation is people don't, they're not honest with themselves.
Yes. Amen.
They go around and spend thousands and thousands of dollars looking for a psychiatrist that will tell them they're all right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you come to me, I'll be your psychiatrist and I'll tell you the truth.
Yes, right.
And I'll give you the answer to take care of all your problems, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't cost you a dime. Reminds me of that woman in the New Testament. She wasted all of her substance. And the Bible says she went to various physicians and they could do nothing to help her.
That's right.
That's a sad case.
Yes, it is.
You know what? Religion will cost you.
Yep, that's right.
I live in a country, Poland, where it costs to be religious. They put the fear in these mothers. They go up to the hospital and they tell these mothers they had a newborn child. And they tell them, if you don't baptize that child and that child dies, that child is going to go to hell. Well, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Well, you got to get your child baptized. All right, let's baptize him.
Amen. Wow. All right.
When did Jesus ever do that?
That's right, amen.
When did Jesus say to the blind man, hey, give me an offering and I'll heal you? There's not a price tag on healing, but you know, I can be persuaded to heal you if you'll give me an offering. No, my friend, everything Jesus Christ did, He did freely.
Amen.
He did it because He loved you and He loved that blind man. He loved all those people that are healed and He healed them freely.
That's right, amen.
You mark it down, my friend. If a religion's trying to sell you something, don't buy it.
Amen. That's right, amen.
You want to buy something, buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the truth. You want to buy truth, just take a little bit of faith.
Amen.
God doesn't send His children to hell. He sends unrepentant sinners to hell. And I don't say that to offend you, and I don't say that because I want you to go to hell. I remember one time where was I at? I was in Aguas Calientes. Had a JW knock on my, a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door. They knock on your doors here? Yeah. I had a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door. And I don't know if you know anything about the Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe there's a hell. They think that H-E-L-L is spelled G-R-A-V-E. I hope you understand the difference.
Yeah.
You know what? You can go to the grave, and you're not going to see any fire in the grave. I've been to a few funerals. I've looked down in the grave. When they buried my daddy, they put him in a hole, and I looked down that grave. I didn't see any fire.
That's right.
My Bible says there's fire in hell.
I just think I got unplugged.
Am I still alive? And I don't think Jesus Christ preached on hell because He was trying to offend people.
That's right.
I think He preached on hell and warned people about hell because He didn't want people to go there.
That's right.
But I have this Jehovah's Witness in my home, And I opened the Bible and I was trying to show him how he could be freely saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began talking. And he says, well, you believe in hell because you want me to go there. No.
That's right.
I don't believe in hell because I want you to go there. I've read this Bible trying to figure out how I can get rid of hell. And I can't do it, honestly.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell God what He's got to do and what He can and can't do. God can do anything He wants. Did you ever get it down in your soul that God doesn't have to be friendly? Who told you that God has to be love? Thank God He is. But you don't know any more about God being love than you know about God making hell.
Right.
Except from this book.
Right.
The same book that says God is love says there is a hell, and that God created hell for the devil and his angels that rebelled against Him. And when Adam came along and rebelled against God, and all those sinners that followed Adam and in Adam's sin, he said, you're going to the same place.
That's right.
So that Jed Jehovah's Witness made this accusation, you preach hell because you want me to go there. And I looked him right in the eye and said, sir, there's one thing I don't want.
That's right.
I don't want you to go to hell.
That's right.
And I don't preach hell because I want people to go there.
That's right.
It is an unpleasant doctrine. It is a doctrine that I'm tempted many times to try to avoid. But I'm trying to be an honest man with you. I'm a believer of the Scriptures. I believe the Bible. I believe every word in it. And the Bible is full of the word called hell. There is a place called hell, and I don't want you to go there.
Amen.
He says, yeah, but I know you evangelicals, you just want us to go to hell. Now, there might be some other evangelical out there that wants you to go to hell, but you mark it down, friend. I don't want you to go to hell. I've given my life. I've left America. I've come to Mexico so that you wouldn't go to hell, so you'd hear about Jesus Christ dying on a cross who went to hell for you.
Amen.
And if you want to miss hell, you can.
Amen.
Jesus said, come unto me. All the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I want you to know that invitation. That invitation is opened up to your dying breath.
Amen.
There is a thief on the cross next to Jesus, probably a murderer. He was probably guilty of murder. He cried out in his dying breath, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, I don't suggest that you wait until your dying breath. I would suggest you take the advice of Scripture and listen to the Word of God where it says today is the day of salvation.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nobody has a promise of tomorrow, and all we have is right now.
That's right. Amen.
Now, if tomorrow comes, you get another chance, but you better not take that bet too often. But what happened with Cain here? God Almighty gave him some good advice, and apparently he ignored it. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, what lieth at the door? Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I want to say tonight that sin lieth at the door. I remember our oldest son, Jason, he's here tonight. I remember we were out at the ranch. Janice calls it a farm, but when we were in Michigan, we said they have ranches in Texas. So out at the ranch, we had come in from Mexico, and we came back from Poland, and we were staying out at Grandma's ranch out here in Atascosa. Well, there's something I learned a long time ago about Texas. Texas has a lot of critters. They got critters that slither. And they got critters that have these little pinchers and a funny looking tail. And I remember Mike Jackson was down, and we were building this section of the building. Brother Dale was still alive, and Mike Jackson from Michigan, where I'm from. We don't have them critters up there.
That's right.
So old Mike Jackson over here in that old bathroom over there, I don't know, you still have it. He was over there, and he come out the day, and he had him what you call a scorpion. He had him by the tail. He said, Dale, you ever see a thing like that? That's a funny looking bug, and he's playing with this thing, yeah? And Dale screamed, what are you doing? Get rid of it. Oh, it's a a cute little bug and he's picking it up, playing with it. He didn't know what he was playing with.
Yeah.
And I remember when we was first over there in the old hall and we had them critters falling from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And they'd fall right in our hymn book. And the best thing to do is shut your hymn book. Yeah. The song leader says, it might have been Brother Jim. Said, hey, we're not done singing yet. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're done. I remember Danny Newman took us out with Bernie, took us out to Canyon Lake. We were going to go camping before Memorial Day. Is that one we used to go, Memorial Day or the other holiday? I don't remember which one it is. The one that's in May or June sometime. Yeah? Is that Memorial Day? Yeah, I remember. We were camping out there, and we in our tents, we had them spread out, got up in the morning. My dearly beloved, the one I found, told you about, if you weren't here last night, you missed out. But I found her. And I found a good thing.
Amen.
Thank God for her. She said, honey, sweetie pie, my darling, would you like some bacon and eggs for breakfast? I said, that sounds good. And I don't know if you ever had eggs and breakfast over an open fire, but there's nothing better than that. Somebody has asked me if I like eggs. I like them in the morning over an open fire. Pretty good stuff. Yeah. I said, sure, I'd love that. She says, well, you got to go to town and buy eggs and bacon. All right, so I was getting dressed, and I walked out the tent, and I felt something in my shirt. Now, when I was younger, I used to take care of that, and I'd go like that. Well, I got stung about four or five times trying to do that, and I decided I need to learn. So I pulled my T-shirt back and thought I'd take a peek. Looked down there, and there was one of them critters coming up my chest. He was about that long and had a big old long tail. I said, Danny, come help me. He said, what you need? I said, just come. I ain't got time to explain. Just get over here and get this. He's getting closer. So Danny come, brushed him off, and give it a good stamp. And I got to thinking, that was a big critter.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to tell them critters, one's a mom and one's a daddy. I'm not sure how you're supposed to tell. I'm sure there's somebody that knows, but I didn't have any idea. But something, a light bulb went off my head, and I said, where there's one little critters, there's probably some more. I stuck my head back in the tent. I said, honey, you need to get up. Oh, but I want to sleep a little bit longer. I said, no, I think you need to get up. Oh, let me sleep a little. Look, I'm going to get eggs and bacon. You just need to get up right now. Can't you wait? No, of course not. She says, I'm getting right up, honey. I'm doing what you said. Because the Bible says you're the head. Yeah, no. That's exactly what I'm saying. Do not put a lie detector test on me right now, because I'm not sure. I'm pleading the fifth. Well, she got up and got them. We got the kids out. Went in there and decided to pull that sleeping bag up. And sure enough, there was 10 more of them little critters underneath there. Little ones. Well, let's just say we took care of them. I don't want to offend some of you because you have love for critters. I hope they're in heaven. Death and sudden destruction came upon them when they weren't expecting it. Well, I said all that to say this. We were out at the ranch. And not only do you have critters, you have these things that slither around, come up out of the water. I think they're called moccasins. You got a lot of them out there in Atascosa, don't you? Well, I understand them moccasins and snakes, they like concrete. And Grandma had a concrete patio, and they'd crawl up at night, and they'd hide out on that patio, lay out on that patio. I don't know if snakes sunbathe or not, but they'd like to stretch out on that patio. Well, Jason go trooping out the door in the morning. Just opened the door, you know, Jason, he just plopping along, and he stepped on that snake, and boom, he got bit. And that snake withered off, and we took him to the hospital. Thank God he didn't put any venom in him. Just put two holes in him, so he had to sit up at the hospital for 6 hours. Doctors had to watch him. Everything was okay. But I think about that time, and I think about that all the time when I read this verse, that sin is lying at the door.
That's right.
Just waiting for you to make a mistake.
That's right.
Just waiting for you not to shake your boot and make sure there's no critters in there. Just waiting for you to open the door and walk out, and sin's going to be there, and he's not your friend.
That's right, amen.
Sin is not a friend of anyone living.
That's right.
Sin is an enemy. It'll lead you to his partner in crime called death.
That's right.
And if you're not saved, if you don't have the blood of Christ on you, and you don't have the mercy of God and the grace of God, sin will lead you right to hell.
That's right, amen.
And God gave old Cain some advice. He said, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Amen.
Sin is waiting to take advantage of you. Amen. Now look at the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. I say verse 26. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he gives this advice. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, you know what happened to Cain? He got angry. He got angry apparently at God and apparently at his brother. He got angry because he was envious. God accepted something from his brother but didn't accept it from him. Now, before you get your stones and start throwing at Cain, you better check your own heart. When's the last time you got angry and failed to fulfill this verse where you got angry and you sinned? How's the traffic in San Antonio doing, by the way? Huh? What if we had a video camera in your car? Yeah? So we could record what happens when you get angry.
Yep.
Now, I used to drive an old Suburban, had a big old cattle guard on it. I don't know why people would make me angry, because I was going to win. You ever get mad at somebody and do something you regretted later?
Amen.
Now, the Bible doesn't say that it's sin to get angry. It just says here, be angry and sin not. Be careful what you do when you get angry. Some things ought to make you angry. You see somebody doing something wrong, that ought to make you angry.
Yes.
You see your children in disobedience, that ought to make you angry. But you ought to be careful on what you do with your anger.
That's right. Amen.
And apparently, some people like to hold on to their anger.
Yeah.
They like to hold on to it all day long.
Yeah.
And instead of getting rid of it by sundown, they like to keep and think about it all night long. And then they don't get rid of the next day, and that anger turns into bitterness.
Yeah.
And they become bitter people. Have you ever met a bitter person?
Oh, yeah.
You ever drink something bitter? It's called Dr. Pepper, by the way.
Amen.
I was working with Danny Dalross one time out here in Atascosa, Texas. We were hauling hay, fighting fire ants. On a hot July or August day, hauling hay. Danny or one of his buddies said, you want something to drink? Yeah, I could sure use something to drink. I'm just sweating. I'm from Michigan. I'm not used to the Texas heat. He comes back, and he's got Dr. Pepper. But he didn't tell me what was in it. He says, it's already open. He had it in a bag. And I didn't even look. I was so thirsty. I just took the bottle and started guzzling. Didn't take long for that to come right back out. I said, I thought you was going to get something else for something to drink. Well, I can't believe anybody drink Dr. Pepper. That's the worst stuff. But what does God say? He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What did Cain fail to do? He failed to do well. And he got angry. And he failed to control his anger. And he went out and slew his brother.
That's right.
Now, I haven't met anybody that believes murderers can go to heaven. Well, I'm going to have to correct that in just a minute. Most people that I speak to, they say, when I ask them, are you going to go to heaven? Their response is, not yes or no. Their response is, I haven't killed anybody. Well, that wasn't exactly a question. I didn't ask you if you killed anybody. I asked you, are you going to go to heaven or not? Well, I haven't killed anybody. I'm not sure what exactly does that mean, you haven't killed anybody. Well, they're implying that they're good people. They're implying that if you kill somebody, there's no way you're going to go to heaven. So they understand that there's one sin that will lead them to hell, and that's murder. If you read the New Testament, the Bible says, if you hate your brother, did you hear me? If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Some of you got some problems with your wife or your husband. And anger's built up in you and bitterness built up in you. And the next thing you know, there's a D-I-V-O-R, I hope I'm spelling this right, R-S-E-E, divorce. Yeah? Why? All of a sudden, you can't love that little woman like God said you're supposed to love her, like Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Anger got a hold of you. Bitterness got a hold of you. And you couldn't say them words that they sang about the other night, I forgive you.
Right.
You couldn't do it. And so you booted her out, or you left and you slammed the door. You went down to the courthouse and said, give me a divorce.
Yep.
I don't want to be here with her anymore. I hate her. Or vice versa. Now the Bible calls that murder.
Amen.
Now I understand David works with my son down at the jailhouse. I think I wouldn't embarrass you, David, but if you could come up here and testify, I'm almost certain that not everybody in that jailhouse are murderers. Now, I think we could call them gentlemen up here and they'd probably testify. They're probably not. Are they good? You know how many bad people are sitting in jail tonight, never killed anybody? Never murdered anybody? Where did we get this concept that says as long as I haven't murdered anybody, I'm a pretty good old boy? Where do we get that concept from? We moved to Poland. We were living in Warsaw, Poland. Our neighbors really prevented us from learning Polish well because they all wanted to learn English. And so they wouldn't speak to us in Polish, which we needed. We needed to hear them speaking in Polish. They'd speak to us in their broken English. And so they invited us over so that they could practice their English with us. Well, come to find out, our neighbors were shacking up. You know what that means, right? They were shacking up.
Yeah.
They decided that they didn't need marriage. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Yep.
They decided that they didn't need marriage. They just lived together. Well, one of them was the young lady was a judge. She found out we were from Texas, and boy, she gave you Texans a tongue licking. She says, she put her hands on her hips and says, now she pointed her little finger at us and she said, now don't you people in Texas kill people? Yeah, but don't they kill them here in Poland too? Like 6 million Jews? No, that's not what I'm talking about. You got in Texas the death penalty. Is that true? The death penalty in Texas. She said, I don't think that's right. How can anybody kill another person? I just think that's just wrong. And then she knew that I was a preacher. What do you think about that? And I said, well, I think that's a pretty good idea. I think they ought to have the death penalty. What? And you call yourself a priest? Well, that's the term she used. I said, well, I'm not a priest, I'm a preacher. But I understood what she meant. She said, you call yourself a preacher, and you say you believe the Bible, and you believe in the death penalty? Yeah, I believe in the death penalty. The Bible says in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death. Oh, she became angry. She puffed up, and she was, well, I won't say everything she said, but she just became angry. But we continued fellowshipping. And the subject turned, I don't know how we got on the subject, but pedophilia and pedophiles. Because she started ranting and raving about the priests, and some of them were pedophiles, supposedly. She got so angry, you know what? You know what they ought to do with them? Because she had a little boy. She had a young little child. She said, they ought to take them out and kill them. Well, that's what they do in Texas, yeah. You see, the problem is, what you think is wrong deserves the maximum penalty. And you think you're right to give the maximum penalty when you think it's wrong. She was ready to be the executioner for all those pedophiles. Why? Because she despised that sin. I got news for you. God despises all sin. You tell me the difference. The same God that said, thou shalt not kill, He also said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Amen.
And how many times you've been driving your Texas pickup truck or Toyota pickup truck, driving down the road, and some little old lady pulled out in front of you, and you started beeping that horn, and you took God's name in vain, and bless God, if you had the chance, you'd run her over.
Amen. All right.
Am I stepping on some toes? No, I'm here. If you had an opportunity, you'd pull her over off the side. If you had a police light on, you'd turn that light on, pull her over, and give her more than a ticket.
Amen.
And if we had a tape recorder in your car, I could tape what you say. You took God's name in vain so many times, and you violated the law that God Almighty gave in the same way that the murderer did. God said, thou shalt not kill. And He also said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And you took His name in vain, and you became a trespasser, and you became guilty, a violator of the law.
That's right.
Now, we have a brother stands down and does some interpretation in the court. I'm sure he could stand up here and testify and say that many a man stood in that court, but none of them could stand there in that court and rightly say, you can't convict me because I kept all them other laws. Why do you want to put me in jail for stealing when I haven't murdered anybody, when I haven't raped anybody, when I haven't violated the speed limit? I've kept a whole bunch of laws. I've only made a mistake on one. You can't put me in jail for that. Yes, they can. Just commit one and off to jail you go. Isn't there a verse in the New Testament about that, you Bible scholars? If you offend in one point, you become guilty of all.
That's right.
I haven't even got to my sermon yet. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? That was Cain's problem, wasn't it?
That's right.
All right. The sin lieth at the door. Look in Luke in chapter 22. Sin is lurking at the door and waiting to bite us, waiting to entrap us, waiting to catch us in a moment of weakness and bring us down.
That's right.
He says in Luke in 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
That's right.
I want to tell you tonight that not only is sin lurking at the door, but Satan himself is looking for opportunities to drag your soul to hell.
That's right.
He's looking for opportunity to rob people of heaven, rob people of the grace of God, rob people of the mercy of God, rob people of the blood of Christ. He's looking for opportunities to bring people to hell. And He doesn't want you to hear the gospel.
That's right.
And if you got away with it, you found the mercy of God, you found Noah's Ark and got in it before the door shut, you found the Lord Jesus Christ, Then he's looking to sift you as wheat. He's trying to bring you down.
That's right.
And there, sin is destructive in the life of a Christian.
Amen.
And the devil is going to do some dancing when he can bring a Christian into sin.
Right.
Now, I have no idea why you and I as Christians sin. God had mercy upon us.
Amen.
Why would we want to trespass against him? But we raise up, this was Simon, this is Peter the Apostle. Some people say he was the first pope. Don't know about that, but Satan desired to have him. Apparently, Satan got a hold of him. Because old Peter said, I'll never deny you. Unless all these other brothers, they deny you, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. And the first opportunity to have that faith tested, Peter surrendered and denied the Lord 3 times. Now later he was converted, he repented, and God had mercy on him. Look in 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 8. You got your Bibles? Look at the Bible. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know you have an adversary? You have an enemy? The devil is not our friend.
That's right. Amen.
Sin is not our friend.
Amen.
I know it'd be great we'd just be friends with everybody, but that's just not reality.
Amen.
Sin is our enemy.
Right.
Death is an enemy.
That's right.
The devil is an enemy.
That's right.
And the Bible, the Holy Scriptures tell us clearly, he says, be sober. You can't do that if you're drinking. Let me repeat that. Be sober. You can't do that if you're drinking.
Amen. Amen.
Let me pause for a commercial break. And nine-tenths of all the commercials about beer, aren't they?
Yeah.
What are you doing as a Christian drinking alcohol?
Amen. That's right.
What in the world are you playing with fire? Do you know how many children in Poland are sitting in an orphanage and their parents are still alive? But they don't have a daddy around to take care of them. They don't have a mother around to take care of them because mom and dad are no longer sober. And they become servants of alcohol.
Right.
And it started out with a little beer. Well, in Poland, a little vodka. Do you know how many marriages have been destroyed by alcohol?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to preach that some other night, but we're back to the program. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour you.
That's right.
He wants to destroy you. He wants to make God your enemy.
That's right.
Instead of the devil being the enemy.
That's right.
He wants to turn everything around. The devil is a liar and a father of lies. And he'll lie to you. It's amazing how people will believe the devil's lie, but they won't believe God Almighty's truth.
Yeah. Amen.
They'll believe any book that gets printed except for this book.
Right.
How many times have they cornered us on the street and said, you can't believe that book. That book was written by a man. How can you believe that book? That book was written by a man. I said, well, who was the first king of Poland? And they said a king named Mieszko. I said, how do you know Mieszko was the first king of Poland? Well, I read it in a book. Was that book written by man or God? Well, man wrote it. And you're convinced that old Mieszko was the first president, the first king? How do you know? Well, I read it in a book.
Amen.
Written by man.
Right.
All right, maybe you got some problems with what was written by man. But you know who wrote the Ten Commandments? God Himself.
That's right.
He etched it right in stone.
Amen.
How you doing on the Ten Commandments, by the way? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? How you doing? I don't know how many people I've met in my lifetime and said, well, the way to heaven is just by keeping the Ten Commandments. Just by keeping the Ten Commandments. I'd probably criticize them, but I said the same thing myself. I thought that was a great deal. Just Ten Commandments. Great, I get to go to heaven. Only ten. I think I can handle ten. I read the first five and said, oh me. I read the last five, I said, I'm out of luck. Have you ever read the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, I didn't know if there's any other gods. I thought there was only one. So I think I didn't have a problem with that. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a theologian. Got down to verse 2. But in the next one, it says, you're not to make any graven image. I thought, well, so far so good. Then I got down and said, you're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I said, woe is me.
Yep.
Read down a little farther. It says, honor your father and mother. I thought, is this for America? How can any American child keep that one? Thou shalt not steal. Oh.
Amen.
Sin lieth at the door. I think the problem is we don't understand. I hate to use a big word because I probably can't pronounce it right. Sin is grievous to the Lord. Sin is offense to God. Have you ever been offended? Your husband ever offend you? Ever did something, said something stupid, and now you're offended? No, I'm not making you dinner. That never happens with Janice. That never happens with Janice. Janice never ever does that. I got that from confessions from other people, yeah? I didn't get that from Janice. You ever walk out the door and slam the door? Well, I'm leaving. I'm not coming back till supper's made. Well, I'm making supper. Ever happened to you?
Amen.
Huh? You ever been offended? I'm never going back to that church. That preacher didn't shake my hand. All them brothers in Poland wonder why I shake their hand three times. I shake it when they come in. I shake it sometime during the break when we have break on Sunday morning. I shake it when they leave. I say, why are you shaking my hand all the time? You wouldn't believe how many people left church because they didn't get their hand shaken by the preacher. I'm just making sure you don't have that excuse. Well, don't you know in Poland that it's sufficient just one time? Well, I'm covering my bases. Yeah, I'm going to shake your hand. Can you believe that? Well, that preacher didn't wear a tie. Well, that preacher wore a tie. Well, that preacher, he said this word. Well, that preacher didn't say that word. You want an excuse, you can get offended. But if you read Matthew 20 and verse 28, you can't get offended. And that was last night. If you missed it, get the tape. But I heard the tape was destroyed, so I guess I'll have to preach it again. I think one of the problems is we don't understand how sin offends an almighty God. I don't know that I can define what is an abomination. An abomination to you? I'm not talking about the abominable snowman. I'm talking about an abomination. It's something that you detest. Now, some of our children, they understand it pretty good. Mama puts peas on their plate and there's, I mean, their face starts to contort and they start looking. And oh, I do that and I'm a grown man. You put sauerkraut on my plate and then I say, oh, man, I'm going to eat that. And I always go back to that same excuse. My dad said that when I live in my own house, I don't have to eat that stuff no more. And this is my house. My wife says, no, it's not. You're renting. I think the problem is we don't understand how sin is ugly. Because the devil has painted it white and it looks pretty. The devil has put Tinkerbells on it and it looks pleasurable. And it appears pleasurable, it feels pleasurable for a season. And then you wake up the next day and you're vomiting. And you have close fellowship with a toilet bowl. Then you wake up the next day and you find out your wife left you. Or you find yourself sitting in an old dark jail somewhere. Or you end up in a hospital somewhere because your kidneys are rotting out, your liver's rotting out. Now, I know they make great big old bulletin boards. Yeah, well, I don't know if they do that anymore here in the States. And you're, you know, they're showing people smoking a cigarette. In Poland, they're still allowed to have big old bulletin boards. Now, they take a third of that advertising and say, this will kill you. Don't do this. But people still doing it. One of the first smells coming off the plane in Warsaw, Poland is tobacco. Just everywhere you go. The second smell is vodka. And what you're smelling is not first-time tobacco. You're smelling rerun tobacco. Somebody's already inhaled it, and you're getting the leftovers. And you're not getting the first shot of vodka. You're getting leftovers.
Yeah.
And you find them laying at the bus stops, yeah, passed out. You find them on the bus stop with vomit running down their cheeks, laying sitting in a seat, all zonked out. You see, the devil don't paint sin like that. The devil puts a bottle of vodka and two beautiful women. There are no such creatures. They had some sort of Photoshop fix them girls up so they look real good. That's how the devil paints it.
Right.
He don't ever show you the other side.
Amen.
When you're all alone.
Amen.
And you're in pain.
Yes.
And you're clicking that old morphine button and they're not giving you enough morphine. The devil don't ever tell you about that. You find your soul in hell and crying out, now I want to believe, and it's going to be too late. Because we don't understand the vileness, the wickedness, that sin is an abomination to God Almighty. Your husband offends you, you reach back and give him an old knock on the head because he offended you. Your wife offends you and you smack around. Now, I'll tell you something. I find out you've been smacking around your wife, I'm going to get Brother Lindell and all his clan. We're going to come visit you. Sin is an abomination. It's an abomination. Now, how long have you sat with anger because somebody's offended you?
Right.
Some people have gone to their grave because somebody offended them.
That's right.
I don't know how long that was. That may have been 10 years, may have been 20 years, may have been 60 years, but they went to their grave. They refused to forgive that person because they offended them. And they justified themselves. And they may have been right. Maybe they were really offended. Let me ask you something. If you offend an eternal God, how long is He going to be offended?
That's right.
All right.
Somebody says, why does hell have to be eternal? Because your offense is eternal.
That's right.
Did you ever think about that? You offend God, and that offense lasts for all eternity.
That's right.
And then you double that offense because He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, even though you offended Him.
That's right.
And He had every right to ignore you. He had every right to take your soul that very night.
That's right.
He had every right to rain fire from heaven and take you right to hell and open up the earth and send you right direct to hell. No, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. He had every right to do that.
Amen.
But our God, who is called the God of love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary. Amen. And He died on Calvary even though you offended Him.
Yes.
And He says, if you'll believe on My Son, I'll forgive that offense. Won't cost you a dime. The only thing I ask, you trust in Him.
That's right.
That you receive My Son. You believe on My Son. And you know what you do with that blood of Christ? You walk all over that blood of Christ. I don't need the blood of Christ. I've got my religion. I've got my baptism. I've got my sacraments. I don't need that. I've offended God. So what? I can do as I please. You've offended God.
Yes.
And you trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ. And then you accuse God of being unrighteous.
Amen. Yeah.
I teach English over in Poland. And I told you tonight, I always look for opportunities to give the gospel. Now, I'm not teaching English professionally to preach the gospel. That's just not right. But I deal with moral issues.
Right.
I have perfect liberty to deal with moral issues. And I told my boss, I said, look, I didn't come here to preach the gospel in my place of employment. But if a question is asked me, I'm going to tell him what I believe. He said, that's all right. That's all right. Okay. So I just work it so they ask me. And we used to, one of our schools, they used to give free lessons. You could get a free lesson, but in order to encourage the teachers to teach these free lessons, they would let us pick the subject. So I pick the subject. And we make these big old posters to get the students to read, and they sign up for the class. And my poster was, they told you, go to hell. What does that mean, and do you need a map to get there? I had all these people sign up for this class. They wanted to find out what was going on. So it was a pretty exciting class. So first we defined the idiom. We searched the possibilities of the names, and we explored the different ideas about hell. Then they asked me what hell was, and I gave them my opinion. Then I asked the question. Put it on the board. We had one of them big old, well, it wasn't a chalkboard, it's a whiteboard, but like in the school, it used to be the old chalkboards. We had a big old whiteboard, like a chalkboard. And I put up there and I asked them, after we'd had the discussion about hell, I asked them, I said, I want you to work with your partners, and I want to come up with some things that will send people to hell. What kind of people go to hell? Was basically the question. Well, the first answer was politicians.
Amen.
So I wrote politicians on the board. Politicians. Who goes to hell? Right up there on the board. Who goes to hell? Number one, politicians. So we spent some time discussing what is a politician, politics, and we explored the English vocabulary. I said, is there anybody else that goes to hell? Guess what number two was? No. They don't have the problem with suing everybody in Poland. Yeah. That's not a big problem. Murderers. Okay, we got murderers, so we put murder up there. Anybody else? Thieves. So we put thieves up there. Anybody else? Priests. They don't like the clergy, yeah? Okay, so priests are going to hell. Anybody else? My neighbor. Okay, your neighbor. Anybody else? We spent 30 minutes filling up that whiteboard. Man, we had every type of person you can think of, including Americans. Especially Texans. You got the death penalty in Texas. The next part of that exercise, I asked the question. All right, I want you to discuss with your partners and find out if you know anybody personally that fulfills the things on this board that are going to hell. I mean, we had thieves, we had robbers, we had drug addicts, we had drunkards, we had people that were proud, we had hypocrites, we had unbelievers. We had blasphemers, we had idolaters, every conceivable sin you can think of, and then some we had on the board. I mean, that board was completely full. And I said, now, do you know anybody personally that's going to hell? And they started listing off all the politicians. I said, personally. Besides the politicians. All right, we're in agreement, all the politicians are going to hell. Okay, fine. Anybody else? And I kid you not, they sat down in their seats and they'd look at that board and they'd do some more thinking. They'd look at that board and they'd, no. I said, you don't know anybody that's going to hell. You don't know anybody that's a liar. You don't know anybody that's a murderer. You don't know anybody that's taking God's name in vain. Hello?
Yeah.
You don't know anybody that's a thief. Never took a ride on a bus and didn't pay for the ticket? You don't know anybody like that? Oh, are you talking about those sins too? Hello? Well, let us think about it some more. So they got together and they started thinking. They still couldn't come up with anybody. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Amen.
You see, we can look down our nose at that guy next to us, and we can point out their sins, and we can say, yeah, that one's a sinner. But we don't see that sin in our own life. That's our problem.
That's right.
We don't understand what sin is. And our Bible here says that sin lies at the door. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin is a cruel taskmaster. Sin is not a friend. And there's one thing I want to convince you this evening. I want to convince you of this. That when you sin, whether you think it's small or big,
that's right.
Whether you try to justify it or not, when you sin, you offend God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
What is an abomination to you? If I took your child that you love dearly, picked up that child and smacked him around, what would you want to do with me?
Yeah.
If I took your child, 5-year-old child, took him down to the Vistula River that cuts Warsaw right in half, cuts Torun where we live right in half as well, flows from south to north. Took your 5-year-old child, picked him up by the cowl, dragged him down to the river, pitched him in that old icy river, and he drowned, what would you want to do with me? What if some young man broke into your home tonight and had a different color of skin that you got? You're off working somewhere and he violated your wife. What would you want to do with him?
Amen.
Be honest. What would you want to do? Your righteous anger would boil up in you, and you, the very least you'd do, you'd call the police and you'd demand justice. The very least. And if you thought you could get away with it, you would skin him alive. Because that sin is offensive to you. That sin is abominable to you. What would you do with a clergyman that you found out that clergyman was fondling your child, molesting your child sexually? What would you do with him if you thought you could get away with it?
Amen.
If you were the judge, you were the last court of appeal, you made the decision, what would you do?
Yeah. That's right.
Would you raise up an anger like that our neighbor who was a judge? Said those people ought to be killed. And if I had the opportunity, I'd kill them myself. I'd pull the lever. Why? Because that sin is offensible, an offense to you. It's an abomination. And when you violate the law of God, God gave you that law because He was concerned about you and He wanted you to do well. That law is not that complicated.
No, that's right.
We read down those things, yeah, that's a good idea. We ought not to do that. We ought not to steal. We ought not to murder. We shouldn't covet our neighbor's wife.
That's right.
We ought to honor our parents. We shouldn't take God's name in vain. We shouldn't have images. There's only one God. We shouldn't have other gods. We ought to set aside a day for the Lord.
Yep.
You already got that written down in your heart.
That's right.
But you break that law every day of your life. Then you get your old white paintbrush out and you paint your sin as white as you can. But when your neighbor commits that same sin, it's black as can be.
Yeah.
And you point your finger and say, that's the most wicked thing I ever seen. But you're covered up your own sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And despite all that, God Almighty sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you.
Amen.
Look at Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. We've offended Him. We violated His law. We trampled all over His righteous commandments. We ignored His commands. We violated, and yet the Bible says He commended His love toward us. Yeah, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
All my life they told me only good people go to heaven. Only those that keep the commandments. I knew that I had no hope and I was without God. There's no way that I could be saved. If that was what was demanded of me, there's no way. Because I wasn't baptized in their church. I didn't partake of their sacraments. I didn't go to their religious festivals. I wasn't a member of their church. There's no way that I was going to meet the commands and the obligations that religions demanded of me. And I knew good and well that I hadn't kept the Ten Commandments, and if that was the road to heaven, then I was without hope and without God. And one day, thank God, a 16-year-old young lady opened up the Bible and showed me this verse that Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
That's me.
Amen.
And I realized that my sin had offended a holy and righteous God.
Amen.
And I was so happy when I found out there was mercy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I took part of that mercy.
Amen.
He promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And I called out to God and said, God, I've offended You. I've ignored You all my life. But I read tonight in the Bible the Scriptures that I honor and that I believe. And it says in that book that if I'd call upon You, You'd have mercy upon me and save my soul. God saved me.
Amen.
You know what He did? He saved me.
Right.
Thank God for that.
Thank You, Lord.
But some of you here tonight heard about that offer all your life. I never heard it. And I was American growing up in Michigan. Now, I say I never heard it. I never realized it. Maybe I did hear it, but I was blind and deaf and could not hear. But You heard it. And instead of humbling yourself and going to God Almighty and said, I've offended You. Please forgive me. God, I realize now I've done You wrong. Have mercy upon me. What do? I don't need Your Son. I don't need that religion. You stomp Your feet and ignore the blood of Christ. And God still calls you.
Amen.
Maybe He sends affliction your way, trying to get your attention. And you raise your unholy fist at God. You shake your fist. I don't need it. God is unrighteous. He's not loving. He's not kind. If there was a God, why do I gotta suffer? If there was a God, how come I don't have a job? If there's a God, and you complain, and you condemn the righteous God? Yeah, you better cry out for mercy.
Amen.
Because you've offended God.
Yes.
It's not that you didn't know.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Amen.
You know you've done wrong. You know you've done wrong just as well as Cain knew he did wrong.
That's right.
You have an opportunity to do well.
Yes.
You have an opportunity while there's still breath in your nostrils to say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Amen.
If not, sin lieth at the door.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed.